The second sentence of Marco Rubio's biography posted on his website recently changed. That's because he ran for election using a poignant family history, one in which his parents escaped to Castro-ruled Cuba in 1959. The problem is his parents came to the United States 2.5 years before Castro took power.
They entered this country prepared to live here permanently. They entered on a legal visa, as permanent as immigrants, on an immigration visa. It wasn't a tourist visa. But their hope was always to return to their homeland. There are a lot of people in that situation.
One reason this is significant is that he claimed his parents were political exiles, a cherished status for many in Florida. Rubio has been shaky on the details, saying that following the revolution, his mother only returned for a few weeks in 1961, after telling NPR 2 years earlier that those few weeks had actually totaled 9 months.
We're talking about things that happened 15 years before I was even born, but the bottom line is the story is essentially the same one. I think it's been blown way out of proportion by some people in the media. Fact of the matter is my parents came here from Cuba in search of a better life. And they always hoped to return to Cuba. If they could, they tried. And they've been permanently separated from their homeland, which also makes them exiles. And it's shaped me.
Despite claiming to be the son of exiled parents, Rubio would only say his parents came to the U.S. for economic reasons.
You know, I wasn't there in 1956. I can only tell you that my parents felt that they had more opportunities in the United States than they did in Cuba. They were prepared to live in the United States permanently. I mean, this is the greatest country in the history of the world, but they always welcomed the opportunity to potentially go back to Cuba. And in the late 1950s, that a lot of Cubans had the hope that Cuba was entering a new era. Obviously, it didn't turn out to be that way.
Rubio has been a strong supporter of Arizona's controversial immigration bill, SB 1070, and he has called immigration a public safety issue. He said that even though Cuban refugees might get welfare in the U.S. under the Cuban Adjustment Act, it is not a double standard when Haitians or other immigrants are denied those same benefits.
Well, it's not about a double standard. There's a specific law called the Cuban Adjustment Act, and it treats those who arrive from Cuba differently. And there's this congressman from Miami, David Rivera, Cuban-American, that has filed legislation to reform the Cuban Adjustment Act because he believes the law is being abused. And I think that's a valid debate that we're going to have. And I haven't made up a firm position on that yet. I have mixed feelings about it because I do believe there are those who legitimately come from Cuba now fleeing the communist regime and the oppression that exists there. And then there are others that arrive and a year and a day later are traveling to Cuba 15 or 16 times a year, which opens the question of how can you be traveling 15 or 16 times a year if you arrived in political oppression status. So that's a real debate that's going to happen. It's a very valid question. And I've been warning about that for years.
His parents spent 19 years in the U.S. before naturalizing as U.S. citizens, and although his parents made several trips to Cuba after becoming residents, Rubio has made no such indication that he supports the ongoing flights between Tampa and Cuba.
The idea that I'm a friend of the fly to Cuba from Miami crowd is absurd. I mean, and it's just not true. I mean, the bottom line is I think no one would criticize someone wanting to go to Cuba to visit their dying mother or relatives. I mean, those flights have always existed. They existed under the Bush administration. What we're opposed to these expansion of flights from Miami or anywhere else that add more fuel and more money to the Castro regime.
Rubio spent much of his time with the chamber discussing foreign policy, jobs, health, and energy issues facing the nation. But he has most famously voted against raising the debt ceiling, one of the few alternatives to a default on U.S. debt. Ironically, Rubio went on to criticize some of that same harsh rhetoric from that debate, which in part caused the U.S. credit rating to drop for the first time in history.
We now know that the debt limit debate did more harm to consumers' confidence in the United States than the 9/11 attacks did. Think about that. A congressional debate had a more harmful impact on our consumer confidence than a terrorist attack. And so I think that puts the onus on all of us in public service to be careful how we behave and what we say. And I think people get really discouraged when they look at Washington and see that Republicans and Democrats are fighting over things they agree on. It really discourages people. So I think that one of the things I hope to do in the next few weeks is, and I've been involved in conversations, we don't have anything specific yet, is at least identify, I know that there are things that we're deeply divided on from an ideological standpoint, and that's why we have elections. And we'll have an election in 2012 to decide a lot of those issues.
But that didn't stop him from only minutes later bringing back the same old guns when it comes to invoking fear about the national debt.
And then on top of all that, let's not forget that the national debt hangs like a dark cloud over our economy, especially at the macro level when people are making decisions where to invest, because they look at the national debt and say, okay, this is a country that owes $15 trillion with no plan to reverse course and no plan to address it. And they conclude, you guys are headed for disastrous cuts, painful government spending cuts, higher taxes, and higher interest rates. And that's not necessarily the kind of stuff that people look for. when they look to where they're going to invest their money.
Last March, Rubio said that raising the debt limit would scare away job creators and lead to higher taxes, higher interest rates, and greater inflation. But Rubio said that such fear-mongering rhetoric from both parties led to a drop in consumer confidence, and he went on to defend his comparison of that drop to the economic decline following 9/11.
Consumer confidence in the United States was reduced after the debt limit debate at the end of July. And that's been well documented, so whoever wants to check it can do so.
Senator, thanking the senator for his time, CEO of the Greater Tampa Chamber of Commerce, Bob Rohrlach, took a swing at the popular Occupy uprisings, both nationwide and locally.
The Occupy movement going around the country, and there is an Occupy Tampa, but you had just had an audience with Productive Tampa. These people get up every day, work hard, even in these tough economic times. We appreciate everything you're doing to help everyone here succeed. So thank you for your time.
Thank you for what you guys do. We'll keep working with you. Thanks for spending the time with me. I'm sorry I was late.
Today's stop was one of several for the senator, who spoke in Orlando this morning and got on his way to speak in Fort Myers this afternoon. Reporting from Tampa for WMNF News, I'm Josh Holton.